easiest way and simplest way to look, to think about it, it's like a string of a guitar, the vocal four. It's a bit simplistic, but it you know, it gives you an idea. So to get a higher frequency, you either need to increase the tension of the string, and you can do that with cricothyroid approximation. That's when you close the distance between the cricoid and the thyroid cartilage. So it's, in effect, it's a cricothyroid muscle in maximum contraction. So that's one approach. Voice therapy. So work with a voice therapist who knows about transgender voice, have the right experience, and then follow their lead, really.
Welcome back to BLA Connections, A Clear Voice. I'm your host, Natalie Watson, and I'm delighted to bring you discussions and insights from experts across the globe on all things laryngology. Our first series brought you information, discussions, and perceptions on COVID-19 and laryngology. Throughout series two, we will continue to look at the changes this pandemic has made to our specialty and how we practice, what strides forward have been accelerated, but also how we navigate through the challenges and issues we face daily. In today's episode, we want to give our listeners a break from COVID and speak more about a lesser known area in laryngology, the management of transgender voice. Mr. Chadwan Aliachi from Imperial College Healthcare NHS Trust in London. Thank you so much for joining us today, Chad.
Thank you very much, Natalie. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So what got you interested in transgender voice?
Like most things, it often starts as a trainee with a research project. You join a new unit and your boss gives you a list of names and he say, can you look at these? You fancy writing a paper? And then you started looking into the subject, you start doing some reading, you collect data, you get to meet the patient and know them sometimes, and then you get interested. And that's how it started. So I was year one registrar at Charing Cross Hospital, and Charing Cross was and still has a very close connection with the gender identity clinic, which was located down the road. So the patient will have their gender transition managed at the GIC, but they come for all their surgical intervention at Charing Cross Hospital. And at the time, we had a big cohort of patients coming for voice feminization surgery. Mm-hmm. And so I started looking into it. We used to do cricothyroid approximation in these days and start to collect data, read more about it. And then I got more and more interested in the subject.
So how do you approach the management?
The management of transgender voice, it's mostly, again, like a lot of things in laryngology, it is you rely heavily on your speech and language therapy colleagues. They do all the hard work, they do all the hard lifting, and then you come in and do the operation and often take the glory. But it's actually the main line of treatment is going to be speech and language therapy. You need to find to work and collaborate with a speech and language therapy who has a specialist interest in transgender voice. I'm blessed to work with Christella Anthony, who is the leading speech and language therapist in transgender voice in the UK and one of the leading voices globally. So the client will need to have extensive therapy often. It can go up to 10, 20 sessions. So it's way beyond what you would normally have for a general voice problem, because feminine voice is not only pitch or a fundamental frequency. This is one aspect to it. But for a voice to be perceived as feminine, you have a lot to add to it. You look into intonation, inflection, resonance of the voice, content of the speech often. How do you emphasize things? Male, for emphasis in a male voice, you will raise your voice, you raise the volume. In female, you often raise the pitch and so on. Then you will have the nonverbal clues, you know, how you gesture, how you sit, how you talk, how you look. Often, and all of these factors need to be taken into account. So our part of this equation is to increase the pitch, but most of the work, as you can tell, happens by our speech and language therapy colleagues.
And is there any other elements of the work cup that you are involved in or you get other members of the team to do?
Once our client had their sessions of therapy, they manage to achieve their goals, they need commitment, they need to work, but then they reach an area where it plateaus. So you often can get some pitch elevation, but you need to get pitch elevation that is natural as well. So you don't want to talk in falsetto all the time. Mm-hmm. So you need to increase the pitch, and we often can get pitch increase to satisfactory level. In fact, possibly 70% of our patients do not require surgery. But for those who reach that plateau and they can't progress any further, then we'll discuss them for surgery. And then we'll have often a discussion about the patient, what's their aims, what's their commitment to therapy, what's their journey so far. And then when they get to refer to me, I'll start my workup is fairly simple, as I said, after all of that has been done. So I do pitch measurement in reading and speaking voice. To measure their fundamental frequency. We do some voice quality questionnaire. So we do the transgender woman voice questionnaire and VHI-10. And we take from there. We often do endoscopy. We take history, especially if there is voice pathology as well as feminization. Then, you will need to address that.
Yeah. So it certainly requires an MDT approach, and you're absolutely in a fantastic position at Charing Cross with all the setup there. Once the decision has been agreed upon for surgery, can you take us through the surgical technique that you employ?
So my standard first-line procedure is modified Windler's glottoplasty. So to increase the pitch of a voice, the easiest way and simplest way to think about it is like a string of a guitar, the vocal four. It's a bit simplistic, but it gives you an idea. So to get a higher frequency, you either need to increase the tension of the string, and you can do that with cricothyroid approximation. That's when you close the distance between the cricoid and the thyroid cartilage. So it's, in effect, it's a cricothyroid muscle in maximum contraction. So that's one approach. You can shorten the vocal cord. So, for example, ukulele strings will give a higher pitch compared to guitar strings. And that's what modified Windler's glottoplasty do. And the third approach is to reduce the bulk of the string. And you can do that. So there is laser vocal cord reduction. However, the voice outcomes of that procedure are poor. So it's hardly ever done. So my main operation is glottoplasty, and that's an endoscopic procedure done of like all of our cases via the mouth with suspension laryngoscopy, jet ventilation, and then I will do with a CO2 laser, I will de-epithelialize the anterior 40% roughly of the vocal fold of the vibrating segment of the vocal cord on both sides, and then I will suture the two sides together with vicryl sutures, and effectively creating an anterior web, a controlled anterior web that is full thickness. So you recreate an anterior commissure and you shorten the vocal cords by 40 to 50%. And once that settles, fundamental frequency go significantly higher.
Wow. So once they've gone through all of that, how successful is that? And what are the post-op recommendations?
The operation is very successful. So there is, I quote, 10% failure rate, which mostly related to suture failure. A lot of the hard work is on the patient for the next 2 weeks after surgery, because we're using 4-0 or 5-0 vicryl suture, so they have the tendency to break down if our client is not looking after their voice properly. So they will need, I advise a complete voice rest for 1 week and then very gradual return to vocal function over 3 to 4 weeks. So on the second week, they can talk couple of words at a time. Patients will need to avoid coughing, sneezing, laughing out loud, throat clearing in particular. And then around 3 weeks, we get them to start voice therapy again. The procedure itself, once it's worked and once the web is well formed, you can get a reasonable increase. So most of the patient we start with will have a fundamental frequency in the lower ambiguous range, higher mid range. So we're looking into 130, 125 hertz. And you can reliably get between 50 to 75 hertz increase. So if you're starting at 130, 135, you can get to 190s, 200 sometimes. And that will put the voice securely within the female range. So the critical frequency you would like to hit every time is around 165. At that level, most people, if they are blinded to the person speaking, if listening to somebody over the phone, for example, with a frequency over 165, will be perceived as a female voice.
Brilliant. So have you got any examples of a pre- and post-op patient's voice at all?
Yes, I do. So this is a patient of mine I operated on a few weeks ago. We started around 118 hertz, 119, and we managed to go up to 193. So here you go.
When the sunlight strikes raindrops in the air, they act as a prism and form a rainbow. The rainbow is the vision of white light into many beautiful colours. These take the shape of a long round arch with its path high above and its two ends apparently beyond the horizon.
When the sunlight strikes raindrops in the air, they act like a prism and form a rainbow. The rainbow is the vision of white light into many beautiful colours. These take the shape of a long round arch with its path high above and two ends apparently beyond the horizon.
Here we go.
Wow, that's so impressive. It's like two different people talking. You'd never recognize the voice at all.
And with glottoplasty, it gives you a much natural voice compared to cricothyroid approximation. With cricothyroid approximation, you will get a lot of pitch fluctuation. You will get the range increase, but the range narrows significantly. While the patient with glottoplasty, they maintain their control over voice. They can fluctuate. They can raise their pitch, drop their pitch. So it sounds a lot more natural.
Mm. Yeah, it sounded very, very natural indeed. I mean, I know that there are other centres in the UK using the cricothyroid approximation to good effect. So I guess it's what the surgeon's own preference is as well. And obviously with a discussion with the client or patient as to kind of what they feel they want to go for as well.
Yeah, I do cricothyroid approximation, but I do it as a second line. So if you don't, if the glottoplasty was not successful or the increase was limited, so especially if you're starting with like really deep voice, so you couldn't get to that female range. So I offer cricothyroid approximation as a secondary procedure to increase the pitch further.
It's always great to have a couple of options, isn't it?
Exactly, absolutely.
Fantastic. So what are your take-home messages about managing the transgender voice?
Voice therapy. So work with a voice therapist who knows about transgender voice, have the right experience, and then follow their lead, really.
Brilliant. And it's amazing to think that 70% of clients will just have a really great result with speech and language therapy alone. So absolutely. Engagement with the MDT is a must.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your experience of the management of transgender voice and giving us something refreshing to listen to away from COVID-19.
Thank you very much, Natalie. And thank you again for having me.
No problem. Thank you very much. We hope you've enjoyed listening. This has been BLA Connections, A Clear Voice. I have been your host, Natalie Watson. Our full series can be found in the podcast provider of your choice, or you will find all stored on our BLA Connect app for easy access. We would also love to hear from you. Please feel free to email with any topics you would like us to explore, any questions you have, along with any suggested experts you would like to hear from. Also, if you'd like to contribute to these podcasts, please email inquiries@britishlaryngological.org. Thank you for listening, and we hope you found our podcast informative. Please remember to subscribe and do leave a review with your podcast provider. We do appreciate your likes, subscribes, and reviews.